Well, welcome this morning, and I'd just like to wish all the mothers a happy Mother's Day this morning, but also lift your thought to the idea that the church is the mother, and it is the church that is here to nurture and develop our spiritual being. And so in that sense, the church is the true mother. And within truths of which the church is made up comes the ability to love rightly, to love appropriately, to love in ways that foster what is of the Lord in each other. And we have sort of been looking at this a little bit, where we have looked at Jesus' mother and her role in that changing of the water to wine. Today we are going to be exploring the next phase of the Lord's life, which is the Lord moving on from Cana, where the miracle took place, down to a place called Capernaum. And he arrives at Capernaum just prior to the Passover, before moving up to Jerusalem, and there we find the Lord going into the temple and cleansing the temple. And so we have a progression here. We have a journey. Lord's journeys represent our own journeys, our spiritual journeys, the journeys that take place within the human mind as we move from one previous state into a new state or understanding of what is good and true. And so as we explore this journey today, we're going to be looking at the spiritual principles that underlie the idea of a journey, the idea of place, and the idea of relations. The idea of relations, because we find that as Jesus journeys from Cana to Capernaum, he has with him his mother, his brothers, and his disciples. And all these things are symbolic of aspects within ourselves. Let us pray. Lord Jesus Christ, our Heavenly Father, Lord, as we still our hearts in your presence, we ask that you make that presence felt in our minds as the wisdom and insight that you so freely give. Make it felt in our wills as a desire to do what is good. Lord, strengthen us in your word, from which all wisdom and goodness comes. May our hearts and minds be ever centered on you, that our joy might be full through loving service to the spiritual well-being of others. Lord, help us to see that everything we do, every action, every purposeful thought, every desire we intend and delight in has consequences stretching to eternity. May our lives speak of your mercy, of your compassion, and of your peace. Amen. This morning we just continue with our reading from the Gospel of John. I'm reading chapter 2, verses 12 to 17. And after this, he went down to Capernaum, he, his mother, his brothers, and his disciples, and they did not stay there many days. Now the Passover of the Jews was at hand, and Jesus went up to Jerusalem. And he found in the temple those who sold oxen and sheep and doves, and the money changers doing business. When he had made a whip of cords, he drove them out of the temple with the sheep and the oxen, and poured out the changers' money and overturned the tables. And he said to those who sold doves, "Take these things away. Do not make my Father's house a house of merchandise." Then his disciples remembered that it was written, "Zeal for your house has eaten me up." And a number of readings from the heavenly doctrines, just dealing with those things that are evident in the Lord's journey from Cana to Capernaum. It's from the Arcana Celestia 2717. Mother means the church, which is governed by the affection for truth. And it is this affection which makes a church. Mother, therefore, means that affection. From the Apocalypse Explained 3:6-6. Parents, brethren, children, kinsfolk, and friends in the word do not mean parents, brethren, children, kinsfolk, friends, nor do disciples mean disciples, but the goods and truths of the church. From the Apocalypse Revealed 5:6-5. It is to be known that in the spiritual world place corresponds to state, for no one can be anywhere else than where the state of his life is. And finally, from the Arcana Celestia 8397. The reason why journeying means a further stage in life is that extents of space, like periods of time, do not exist in the next life, but states instead. Consequently, movements are not meant by movements, nor journeying by journeying, but changes of states of mind and further stages of mental development. So we come this morning to the first part from this particular reading that we're going to be looking at today, which is the journey of Jesus along with his mother, his brothers and his disciples from Cana, where the miracle of water to wine occurred, down into a place called Capernaum. Now the Gospel often speaks of Jesus journeying as going down to some place, particularly when referring to him journeying to a place in Galilee. And then we also have this idea of the Lord going up when he's journeying to Jerusalem. And in our passage that we read today, we see that both these terms are being used. He is said to be going, or to go down to Capernaum, and then up to Jerusalem. So, having been at a wedding and having changed water into wine, we have him along with his mother, his brothers, and his disciples going down to Capernaum. And so the natural man reads this and thinks of the man Jesus making a journey from one place to another in Israel. But the spiritual man sees things very differently. To the spiritual man, this is not a journey from one place to another in a geographical sense, but it's the Word, that is the Lord, that is Jesus, it's the Word's advancement from one state of life, bringing us into another state of life. It's a shift in a person's state of mind that is being illustrated here as the Word works to bring about changes in states concerning our affections, that is our loves, and our thoughts. What is seen in the word as place by the natural man is understood by the spiritual man to be a state of mind. Place corresponds to state in the word. So just as the body passes through places as it journeys through space and time, so the mind passes through various states as we journey with the Word, or with divine truth. Places in the Word, therefore, correspond to spiritual or mental states of life. So on the surface meaning, we have this idea of a natural journey from place to place. But all that is symbolic of a deeper meaning which has to do with our own journey from state to state in terms of the progression of spiritual life in our minds. So if we get to read the word spiritually and draw from it what we need for our inner man, then we need to hold on to these correspondences as we bring ourselves to the word. Jesus making a journey from one place to another corresponds to the word creating, changing, reforming, and regenerating our inner states of life. In the literal sense of the word, this is described as the Lord moving up and down from what is higher to what is lower, from what is lower to what is higher. This movement from what is higher to what is lower, and then from what is lower to what is higher, reflects our own spiritual progressions as we look to follow the Lord as the Word. So when you think spiritually about things like higher and lower, these terms, higher and lower, don't actually have to do with anything to do with position of one thing related to another in space. It's not talking about that. For spiritual things, that is, our thoughts and our affections are not objects in space. A higher or lower affection, or a higher or lower thought, or a higher or lower state of mind has nothing to do with a higher thing's position in relation to what we call lower. A depressed state is not lower in space or in terms of position to a joyous one, but we use these natural terms to describe them. Terms like, I'm on a real downer, or perhaps I'm on a high this week. So when we use the terms in this context, higher and lower describe our states of mind. We are not talking about their position, but our experience of the quality of those states as to whether they're higher and lower for us. We're really talking about how we are affected by those states. So such terms, when used in the Word, when it talks of what is higher, mountains, hills, that sort of thing, it's pointing us to higher inner things, states of life, states of mind. So what is higher refers to what is more internal, and what is lower refers to what is more external. So when the word talks of Jesus going up, it refers to the elevation of our thoughts and affections into the more interior things of the Spirit. And these have to do with the things of our thought and affection. When our thoughts and affections are turned towards the Lord, towards the Word, we are going up with the Word. Our thoughts are being placed on higher things, and higher delights and affections are awakened. When it speaks of Jesus going down, it refers to the word moving into the more external things of our affections and thoughts. So whenever you read in the word of something being high, think of it in terms of what has to do with your mental life, your inner life. Think of it as what is more internal. And when you read of something being low, think of the same thing, only on a more external level is where the focus is to be put. Our experience of the spiritual life involves a constant movement, almost like a kind of breathing, from what is more internal to what is more external, and then from what is more external back to what is more internal. There is this constant to-ing and fro-ing. It's an image frequently captured in the Word, and it was captured in the previous chapter when we saw Nathanael come to the Lord, the image of Jacob's ladder, where the Lord said, "Truly, truly, I say to you, from now on you will see heaven opened, and the angels of God ascending and descending on the Son of Man." This speaks of our experience or understanding of the Word, which is here called the Son of Man, and how truths, or if you like, angels of God, direct our thoughts onto the relationship between what is more external and what is more internal. The things of the mind, and these are described by these angels ascending and descending on the Son of Man. And so we now come to this idea of the Lord descending from Cana, where he turned water into wine, to Capernaum. A movement or a descent means a movement to what is more external. The changing of water into wine represents a transformation in our perception of the Word itself, where a shift has occurred, and as we move from seeing it as something applying to the external world and to other people in that world, we begin to then see it in a much more personal way, having to do with our own inner states of life. This is what this transformation is about. It's about working with our thoughts and our affections, not those of others, not making judgments of others. When we see this, then we are able to take what is being revealed to us and apply it to the external level of our thought and affectional life in order to begin to have our motivations and affections purified. So those insights at the level of Cana can be brought down into this level called Capernaum. And there, what has happened at Cana can begin to have an effect in a more external level of life. So the Word, or Jesus, is said to go down to Capernaum, or create a state in us where we are willing to have a new understanding of truth gained at Cana, actioned in governing the life of our external thoughts and affections. This again is the image of Jacob's ladder that is constantly used throughout this gospel story. You see, all truths that we come into, if they are genuine, carry within themselves their own good. Or in other words, if we receive truth in the spiritual walk, we can know it's true because it makes a demand on our life. A demand for a response, for change. And the good of truth is only found in our right response to it. When we respond to those truths we are learning, good is the product. Goodness, love. This is why there is this movement from Cana to Capernaum. It represents the need to bring insights gained at one level into a practical application at the level of more external life. The truths received as wine in the state of mind called Cana demand a response, or a movement in us to this state called Capernaum. Every Cana-like state, or state of enlightenment and insight, if genuine, leads to a state of action that brings changes on a more external level of the mind, and this is what is represented by Capernaum. In fact, Capernaum has a double meaning. It can mean village or field of comfort or consolation, Or it can mean village or field of repentance. Two ideas there, but both closely linked. And this double meaning associated with Capernaum is further reinforced where in Matthew's Gospel we read that it is said of Capernaum that it lies on the borders of Zebulun and Naphtali. Now Zebulun and Naphtali are two Israelite tribes, two of the 12 tribes found in the Old Testament. And all those tribes represent the goods and truths that belong to the church. So they represent spiritual things and have to do with the spiritual life, as do the 12 disciples. Now Zebulun means to dwell together, as in marriage. And so it corresponds to the things to do with love. Hence Zebulun is connected with the first meaning of the word Capernaum, as a village of comfort and consolation. Naphtali, on the other hand, means to wrestle or to twist. And it carries the idea of stress and strain. And it's particularly associated with the processes of spiritual temptation, the struggles we go through. So it relates to the second meaning of Capernaum as a village or field of repentance. Now when the Lord's light shines into our life and we see there are those things in our lower mind that we need to begin to change if we want to become more loving and understanding in response to the word, it is left to us to act in freedom from the insights we have gained, so that our life might become a reflection or image of what truths teach. The Lord can't affect any real change in our life unless we respond to do what it is the Word is telling us to do. We have in our possession all we need to follow the Word. And in our story, this is seen that it isn't just the Lord who makes this journey from Cana down to Capernaum. There are others with him also. His mother, his brothers, and his disciples. Now, to the natural mind, these are simply individuals who are associated with the historical Jesus. But for the spiritual mind, these people speak of spiritual relationships to the Word. They speak of spiritual relationships between aspects of our mental life, that is our thought and affection, that are connected and related to each other by means of the presence of the Word. So for the Word to move and create new states of life within us, various supporting elements are needed within the mind so that it can assist the Lord to bring about what is needed to be brought about in terms of our spiritual growth and development. Now these elements are called here mother, brothers, and disciples. Now we've already looked at this term, mother. Jesus' mother is a term that describes the church. And by the church, we don't mean a building or an organization. We mean the human mind. That is what is primarily the church, because that is where the Lord dwells. So the church is the human mind which becomes a church when it is led by an affection for truth, which is, as we saw in our readings, what mother means. For it is the affection for truth that the Lord is conceived and brought forth within the human mind. He is brought forth there as the church, as the truths in which he can dwell with us. You see, without this affection for truth from the Lord, we would have no desire for truth at all. We would have no desire for spiritual things. When this affection for truth, called Jesus' mother, is present in the mind, then there is a capacity granted by the Lord to us for understanding the Word. And as this understanding is built up in the things of the Word, a person will find an increasing desire for understanding the Word further in relation to their own life. And this produces offspring, which gives us a greater capacity for good. Now, because this good is the product of truth from the Word, it is described in the Word in terms of natural human relationships, family relationships. Spiritually, however, family ties are ties of love. That's what they are. And so in the Word, such relationships describe how the things of the mind are drawn into relationship with each other by their relationship to the Word or the Lord, who is love itself. So when we read of the brothers of Jesus, we understand bonds of affection of the same mother, or affection for truth. These brothers are tied to our understanding of the Word, and these ties or bonds are goods from the Lord that accompany the Word's journey in our life to support us in our spiritual development. So these brothers, which are affectionately tied to the Lord, they represent desires for the Word, desires to put the Word into practice, desires to live from the Word. These are the Lord's brethren because they help and support us to become more connected with the Lord in His Word. These affections are born from the same affection for truth or mother that leads us to come into an understanding of the Word on a deeper level. And this is why they're called the Lord's brethren, or the brethren of the Word. All goods or spiritual affections, that is, affections for spiritual things, these things are of love, and they are from the Lord alone. And so in a sense, or in that sense, they are related to Him as His brethren. But a desire for goodness, a desire to respond without truths, is powerless to bring about the changes or repentance needed for spiritual advancement. Therefore, where there is good, or a desire to live according to the Word, there is needed truths to guide and direct that desire. These truths are able to bring us into a new level of spiritual discipline, particularly as our external life, or the life of our external thoughts and affections, are concerned. These truths are the spiritual principles given to us in the Word and in the heavenly doctrines, and they are represented by the disciples, the disciplined ones, who travelled with the Lord to Capernaum. So the affection for truth, the goods that come from that affection, and the truths needed to guide and direct our life are what support the Word in coming down from Cana, that is, insights we have about our life, to Capernaum and dealing with those things that we need to deal with. We see then that with the coming of insight into our lives by means of the Word, there is a need to respond. The Word must travel from states of truths providing enlightenment in our life, called Cana, and represented by the water being changed into wine, into our more external level of mental life, in the form of actions that look to resist those things in our affections, thoughts, and actions that these insights have shown up to be preventing the Lord's kingdom coming more fully in our life. This is our own Capernaum state. This is how truths become goodness in their descent upon the Son of Man, or upon our understanding of the Word. This is the foundation for spiritual life. And so with these things in mind, we see that we take this principle and we see that we need to act on insights that we have. If we see something needs addressing in our life, then we must respond from the Word to see that it is addressed, or that at least we're in the process and effort to see that these things are addressed, so that the Lord can come in, support us, and have them removed from our life. So this descent is then followed by an ascent. That is, there is a movement to what is more external, and then there is a movement to what is more internal. This idea of Jacob's ladder. And so next week we will look at the Lord's ascent into Jerusalem and the cleansing of the temple, which represents how he works on the more interior aspects of our minds as a result of our willingness to enter into the spiritual work of repentance represented by Capernaum. Amen.